Welcome to Night Sky Tourist, a place to learn the night sky, have fun with its ancient stories, meet astronomers and dark sky advocates, and fall in love with the dark. I'm Vicki Dirksen, your host and author of the website and blog, nightskytourist.com. If you've never visited the website, I invite you to stop by after the podcast. Check out some of the great blog articles, browse through the resource page, and sign up for the newsletters. The newsletters have great content that is exclusive for subscribers. Are you ready for an adventure under the night sky? Let's jump right in. I recently received an email from a listener, Andrea Hodson. She said, "I just wanted to let you know I really enjoy your podcast. I would love to hear more about the dark sky parks on the East Coast." That's a really fair request, since I tend to spend a lot of US-based episodes in the western part of the country, which happens to be my stomping ground since childhood. I asked her if there were any she wanted to hear about, and she suggested a few, and one of them was Cherry Springs State Park. Andrea, I'm dedicating this episode to you. I chatted with Susan Schenk, the environmental education specialist at Cherry Springs State Park in northern Pennsylvania. She started working at the park in 2021 after a decade as a seasonal outdoor educator. She told me that her love of the night sky stems from summer nights spent stargazing with her family. She now helps other families enjoy stargazing experiences under the beautiful night skies of this international dark sky park. Please join me in welcoming to the podcast, Susan Schenk. Susan, thank you so much for joining us on the Night Sky Tourist podcast from Cherry Springs State Park. Welcome.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here. Good to talk with you.
So first of all, explain to everybody, where is Cherry Springs State Park?
So in the state of Pennsylvania, it is in the north central part of the state. So if you go north of the town of Williamsport and then go west a little bit, that is where we are. If you're not familiar with Pennsylvania, don't worry about it. If you go about hour and a half to 2 hours south of Buffalo, New York, right into the state of Pennsylvania, that's where the park is.
Cherry Springs Park has become well known for stargazing. And so can you tell us how your park kind of became the place to go for stargazing in that area?
Like a lot of the East Coast, you know, Pennsylvania included, there is a lot of light pollution. And if you are an astronomer or someone who enjoys looking at the night sky, you tend to seek out those dark, quiet places to try to get good looks at the night sky. And in the late 1990s, early 2000s, the Central Pennsylvania Observers started to host a star party in the park. And at first, the park said, "Oh, you know, what's happening? Sort of just the one-off thing. Maybe we just weren't. They weren't really sure about it." And then we realized that there was a lot of opportunity there, and that kicked off a bunch of initiatives within the state, and then on a larger level, when in 2008 we were the second international dark sky park in the whole world.
That's fantastic. It's a big effort to become an international dark sky park.
So yes, kudos to you definitely.
Guys for doing that. Yeah. So what kind of stargazing experiences do you offer? Because when I look at your website, it seems like you guys do a lot of different types of things.
Yeah, we offer a really wide range of activities, ranging from very self-directed, or you can do something that's completely guided. And what's unique about Cherry Springs is there's two sections of the park. And one is solely for people that are doing professional or semi-professional observing or astrophotography. So this is a location where there's strict red light restrictions, no entrance by vehicle after sunset. And you have to be actively observing with some technical piece of equipment. And that is one part of the park.
That's really important because I'm not in, I don't do astrophotography. I'm not a great photographer in the daytime, let alone at night. But I do know from my friends who do it that all it takes is one little flicker of someone's flashlight and it ruins their picture. So that's amazing that you guys have a place dedicated to that. That's probably very valuable to astrophotographers.
It's really popular within the astrophotography community for that. There's also various bits of infrastructure like tree lines and berms and what have you that tend to mitigate oncoming car traffic from the road, light influx that way. So I think it's really popular among the astrophotographers. And then the other part of the park is our public viewing area where you need to use a red light. But hey, oh, you didn't bring one? Let me, talk to you about how to shift the settings on your phone. Here, let me give you this piece of red cellophane. And it's more anyone, you can stay for 5 minutes, you can stay for 5 hours, and anyone can come to this regardless of whether they've brought a telescope or they've just brought themselves. And I think that that's a really great way for like a really good entrance into astronomy and into experiencing the dark skies, because you, like any hobby, you can pick up a lot of fancy technical equipment if that's the route you want to go. But if you're just starting out, or you've lived in a city your whole life and you haven't seen a dark sky and you wouldn't have this technical stuff, then you can come to our public viewing area. And the public viewing area is where we do all of our public programs. And the majority of our public programs are free. There are a couple that are fee-based, but for these free programs, it's general interpretive talks about nocturnal animals, also laser-guided tours of what objects are visible in the night sky. And people can look through park telescopes that we have set up pointed at various objects throughout the sky. And on certain nights it can get, especially during the Perseids and other peak astronomical events in the summer, it can get really crowded. So we also have partnered with a couple of outside organizations that lead specialized astrophotography workshops and night sky tours that have a attendance cap. That way, if folks want to pay, they want to pay for a more private experience, they can. But it is most of the programs that we provide are free and open to however many people are would like to come out and see the stars.
Do you guys have campgrounds on your property?
Yeah, we do. We have one campground directly next to the night sky public viewing area. That campground is best for tents and smaller trailers, small compact RVs. It won't fit very large motorhomes. It's an older campground, so they just won't fit on the sites, and you'll have trouble maneuvering it through the campground. And also, the campground has potable water and pit toilets. In the other section of the park, in the overnight astronomy field, for folks bringing technical stargazing astrophotography equipment, there you can camp overnight on the lawn, provided you adhere to all the white light restrictions, including dome lights and vehicles and what have you. And on that side of the field, there are flush facilities on that side, but there are no showers. So just keeping that in mind, just depending on what kind of camping. And I can go into like nearby, there are other campgrounds with a few more amenities if that's something that you're interested in. There's Lyman Run State Park and others in the area with a little more infrastructure if you would prefer a campground with electricity or flush toilets.
So if somebody were to come to your park and they decide, well, we want to come to the stargazing program, we want to camp overnight, then that means they're going to be there during the daytime hours too, probably. So what are some of the things people can do in the park outside of the nighttime stuff?
So within Cherry Springs, there is a interpretive trail roughly 2 miles long, that is a crushed gravel trail that wanders through the forest and has interpretive panels along the way, outlining some historical and ecological highlights of the region. That being said, it's one trail, and once you hike it, what else are you going to do? I like to send people in a couple different directions. There's about 15 a 15-minute drive away. There is Lyman Run State Park, and just in case your listeners don't know this, admission is free to Pennsylvania state parks. So other states, you have to pay to go to their state parks, but in Pennsylvania, you don't. You just drive in and begin using the park. There are fee areas like campgrounds, but most things are completely free. At Lyman Run, the beach is also free. So you can draw, you're like, hey, I want to go to the beach. Let's go swimming. All right, go swimming at Lyman Run. We also rent, you can rent boats at Lyman Run, paddle boats and kayaks, and have like a nice time out on the water. Go fishing if you have your out of state fishing license. If you're like, well, I'm not really into that, you could go a little bit further afield. Maybe 20 minutes from Cherry Springs is the Pennsylvania Lumber Museum. And this is, I think it's an overlooked gem within the area if folks are into history, where it explores the really rich lumber history of this area. And it has not only indoor interactive exhibits, but also, especially during the summer, it's open more. They have an outdoor a lumber camp set up where you can see exactly what it looked like. It's not a place, not a place where it's staffed by living history reenactors constantly. It's not like that. Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. I don't know. It's hard to make history interactive, and they do a really good job.
That's great.
If yeah, so that's what's really close. There's other. I find that when people, one thing, and you guys may, your listeners may be more familiar with this living out west, where driving distances are further. Here, out east, sometimes folks traveling from New York City or Rhode Island, places further away, any drive longer than an hour is not going to happen. But if you're willing to drive an hour from Cherry Springs, you can visit the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon, which has a bike trail, and you can look down into this gorgeous canyon that you would never even think would exist in Pennsylvania. But the majority of recreational opportunities, restaurants even, you're going to have to drive. It's 20 to 30 minutes to get to your next destination, at least.
And that's probably what has helped you guys to be able to be a dark sky park and to have
Definitely.
great views of the star of the stars, because you're not so close to where there's a lot of people living and activities happening. Clearly,
It works in our favor, I think.
so it's clearly like a, enjoy nature kind of an experience there.
Yes.
Susan, how can people learn more about the park and the stargazing activities that you offer?
One thing worth noting is that people really like us and they make us fan sites. And it is, I love the enthusiasm and the people just want to get information out there about Cherry Springs. But know that unless it is an official Commonwealth of Pennsylvania website, it may not have the most accurate information. So I can send you a link. I could read you off the URL, but it may not actually make sense reading it to you.
We can put a
Yeah,
link to it in the show
I could link
notes.
in the show notes or something. Well, we have our official state park website. You can check on that for info about the park. And then if you want information on programming, we have an events calendar as well. And that one, I will send you the link, and then it is events.dcnr.pa.gov, and you'll have to search for Cherry Springs State Park in order to find our events.
Well, Susan, I really appreciate you taking time and sharing about your park with everybody. I'm thrilled to finally get night sky tourists out to the eastern part of our country. There are definitely fewer areas that have really good dark skies, but I'm thrilled to find those pockets where people can come and enjoy the offerings that you have. So thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you. I'm really glad that the East Coast is getting some coverage on your podcast, and I hope it draws some more people to visit Cherry Springs.
Do you have places you wish would be featured on the Night Sky Tours podcast? I would love to hear your suggestions. Maybe there's a certified dark sky park you've been thinking about visiting and you want to know more about it first. Or maybe you know of an archaeoastronomy site that other listeners would love to visit. Whatever it is, if you have a recommendation, I would love to hear it. You can email me at hello@nightskytourist.com and I'll have a conversation with you about it. That's hello@nightskytourist.com. It's time for our night sky tour. So pause the podcast, turn off all the lights, and I'll meet you outside under the stars. Tonight, we're going to mostly focus on two constellations, Virgo and Bootes. Bootes is fairly easy to find, but Virgo is pretty tricky, even though it's the largest constellation in the entire night sky. It's made of mostly small, dim stars, but it has one prominent star, which will help us find its location in the sky. And to make it even easier to find, all you need to do is to find the Big Dipper first. Let's start, though, with a fun little saying, and it goes like this. Follow the arc to Arcturus, and then follow the spike to Spica. So you're going to start by looking toward the north to find the Big Dipper. And once you find it, you're going to follow the curve, or the arc of the handle, out to its tip. Now continue that arc until you reach one of the brightest stars in tonight's sky. It's called Arcturus, and it's in the constellation of Bootes. I think Bootes looks like a kite, but for our purposes right now, we're going to imagine it as a spike. Are you still at that bright star, Arcturus? So that is the bottom tip of the kite, or the tip of the spike. Take some time, let your eyes focus on the dimmer stars that go north from there until you can trace out the shape of a long, diamond-shaped kite. Can you see it? Now, if you're having trouble finding it, that's okay. Go ahead and use your stargazing app. Just remember to turn the screen brightness all the way down so you don't ruin your night vision. Now, once you find the kite, try to envision it as a spike. Now, follow that spike right across the sky toward the south until you come to another bright star, and that is Spica, the most prominent star in the constellation Virgo. So real quick, let's try that again. Find the Big Dipper, and then follow the arc to Arcturus, and then follow the spike to Spica. So if you can remember that saying, then no matter where you go this summer, you'll be able to locate Bootes and then Virgo. Now, because Virgo is difficult to see, I do really encourage you to take out your stargazing app and see if you can spot all of the stars that make up this giant constellation. You know how much I love ancient star stories. So tonight's star story comes to us from the First Nations peoples of Vancouver Island in British Columbia, Canada. Some people believe that this story is about the constellations of Bootes, a father, and Virgo, his daughter. And the story goes like this. Long ago, people did not have fire, but an old man had a daughter who had a wonderful bow and arrows. She was able to bring down whatever she chose, but she was really lazy and she just slept constantly. And if you look at the constellation Virgo, she does lay on her side along the path of the zodiac. The father was angry with his daughter and he said, "Sleep not always, but take your bow and shoot into the navel of the ocean that we might get fire." And the navel of the ocean was a huge whirlpool and it contained the sticks for making fire by friction. So she took her bow and she shot it into the navel of the ocean, and in doing so, it caused the apparatus for making fire by friction to bounce up onto the shore. The old man was really happy and he kindled a huge fire, and he wanted to keep it to himself. So he built a house that had a single door. And this door would open and shut with a snap like a mouth, and it killed everyone who tried to go through it. The deer resolved to steal the fire from the old man so that he could share it with the rest of humans. So he took some resinous wood and he split it and stuck the splinters in his hair. I'm sure you can imagine a deer now with antlers. He lashed two boats together and he built a deck over them. And as he sailed toward the house of the old man, he danced and he sang. And he was saying, "Oh, I'm going to fetch the fire." And he sang it over and over. And the old man's daughter said to her father, "Let the stranger enter the house. He sings and dances so beautifully." And then as the deer approached the house, he leaped as if he would enter the door. And the door closed with a snap. So then when the door opened again, the deer quickly jumped inside the house. He sat down by the fire and he pretended to dry himself off while he continued to sing. And then he stooped his head over the fire until those splinters in his hair ignited. And then he ran from the house and he brought the fire to all the people. One of the things I love the most about ancient star stories is that they were often attempts by our distant ancestors to explain the world around them, to tell where things came from. And they often also taught moral lessons too. If you're looking up at the stars right now, imagine a world where we spent our evenings under the stars, telling stories to help make us better people. That would be a really good world. Be sure to check out the show notes for links mentioned in this episode, or visit nightskytourist.com/66. That's nightskytourist.com/66. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Night Sky Tourist podcast. If you enjoy the Night Sky Tourist podcast, please show your support by subscribing to it in your podcatcher and leave a written review. Your reviews are really important to me, and they help others discover the podcast. Be sure to visit nightskytourist.com for great articles and resources. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter for exclusive content. We'll see you here again in 2 weeks. Until then, keep looking up.